Chapter 14. Time to Depart. 6 p.m. Christmas Day. As the church bells rang out, the guests at the house on Festive Lane began to gather their belongings and bid their host a good evening until next Christmas. Harry, Susan, and the kids stood by the front door and wished each guest a Merry Christmas and safe travels to their place on the other side. Guests would leave in the reverse order that they had arrived. Thus, Harry and Susan's parents, who arrived first, would depart last. The guests walked out of the front door and into the night, disappearing into the blizzard one by one. The guests filed out in quick order, carrying only the trays that they had brought with them, now void of all cakes, cookies, and waffles. Now it was Ernest who was preparing to leave. "Ernest, what do you have there?" asked Martha.
"My phone that Santa gave me," he replied.
"Oh dear, you're not allowed to take anything back that you didn't bring with you when you arrived," Martha said.
"But I have to keep it with me to talk to Daddy," Ernest said desperately.
"Martha, Santa did give it to him. It wouldn't be right not to let him keep it," said Susan, unaware that the phone was actually Victor's old phone.
"What's the worst that can happen if he takes the phone back with him?" asked Harry.
"He won't be allowed to return to this house ever again," said Martha.
"Oh no, we don't want that to happen. Ernest, I know you want to take your phone, but if you take it back, then you won't be allowed to come see me again, and I don't want that to happen, do you?" asked Harry.
"No, I want to come back, but I also want to talk to you every day on my phone," Ernest said.
"Ernest, you need to have a carrier to get a signal, and I don't think any of them has a signal strong enough to reach from heaven to earth," said Harry.
"My carrier has a powerful signal. My carrier is God," said Ernest, and everyone took notice.
"Do you think God wants you to take your phone back to heaven?" asked Martha.
"I know he does. He told me and told Santa what I was going to ask for so I would get my phone. God knows how important it is to Daddy and me to be able to talk more than once a year," replied Ernest.
"Well, there you have it then. If God said it was okay with him, then who am I to interfere?" said Martha.
"So then he'll be able to come back here even though he's talking on the phone?" Harry asked.
"According to Ernest, God put a stamp of approval on this, so yes, he will not be penalized," replied Martha.
"Did you ever think that Ernest might be lying to get what he wants? Kids do that, you know," asked Susan.
"Not in heaven, they don't. It is impossible to lie once you're an angel. Regardless of where you might be at the time, there are always many angels around you here on earth. Heaven isn't necessarily a big white fluffy cloud millions of miles in space. Heaven can be right beside you or across the street. Angels can be that nice man at the grocery store who told you your wallet had fallen out of your coat. Angels are not always spirits with wings playing trumpets. Do you see any wings on Ernest, me, or any of the guests here for Christmas? Angels come in different forms and shapes. You never know when one is watching over you from not so far away," said Martha.
"I bet you play a mean trumpet, Martha," said Victor.
"I taught Dizzy Gillespie how to play," Martha replied.
"Who?" asked Victor.
"Never mind, it was way before your time. It is fine for Ernest to take the phone back with him," said Martha.
"Okay, but you were the one who was questioning the phone going back in the first place," said Harry.
"Angels don't lie. I didn't say that they were perfect. Better to be safe than sorry, don't you think?" Martha asked.
"Cool, I get to keep my phone and talk to Daddy every day," Ernest said.
"Okay, but don't be disappointed if you can't get through. You can always leave a message," said Harry.
"Yes, I can leave you a voicemail," said Ernest.
Harry looked at Victor, and Victor just shrugged his shoulders. Come on, give your dad a big hug. I'm going to miss you,
Harry said as he embraced Ernest. Merry Christmas, Daddy. Oh, and by the way, you can call me Ernie, he said.
Right, like Ernie Banks, Mr. Cub, replied Harry.
Yeah, like whoever that is. Miss you too, Daddy. I'll call you later. I love you, said Ernest.
I love you too, Ernie. Be a good boy, said Harry.
Susan and the kids all said goodbye to Ernie and watched as he skipped out the door and into the snow. He stopped and waved one last time, and then he was gone. Next to make her departure was Doris, Lindsay's mom. She walked over to the front door and slipped on her gloves, stocking cap, and galoshes.
Can never be too prepared when traveling in a snowstorm, right, Lindsay? She asked.
Yes, Mom, I know. I will get some boots tomorrow, replied Lindsay.
It was so nice to see you, Doris. I hope we get the chance to see you every Christmas, said Susan.
Well, I guess we'll have to see about that, replied Doris.
Doris hugged her daughter tightly and bid farewell to the Hill family as she walked out onto the stoop and into the snow. Like those before her, she too vanished into thin air. Lindsay was crying and felt she had lost her mother all over again, but she was very thankful for the chance to be with her again. She did have Victor to thank for that. Both sets of grandparents appeared in the foyer and donned their coats, hats, and gloves.
This was a very magical Christmas for all of us, wasn't it? Asked Susan's father.
Yes, Daddy, it was very different, but magical indeed, Susan replied.
Maybe next year Karen will be here too, said Susan's mother.
Only time will tell, Mom, said Susan.
Susan and Harry hugged their parents, as did the kids.
I missed you, Grandpa. It was so great to have you to talk with again, said Victor.
Victor, you can talk to me any time you like. I'm always listening and most of the time right beside you, especially during difficult times, replied Susan's dad.
Wow, Grandpa, that's kind of spooky. I better watch what I'm doing if you're around, replied Victor.
Son, C.S. Lewis once said, integrity is doing the right thing even when no one else is watching. So always do the right thing and you won't have to worry about anyone watching you, okay?
His grandfather said.
Oh man, Gramps, are you going to be cramping my style? Victor replied.
Maybe I'll just make a better man out of you,
Grandpa replied. The family hugged and there were kisses all around. The grandparents exited the front door and walked off into what was now just light snow with a little wind. As the family watched, they were able to get a good look at what happened as people walked away for the first time. They just vanished into a mist, and they were gone.
Oh man, that was awesome. Call them back and have them do it again, said Caitlin.
We are not calling them back to entertain you. They were here for 24 hours.
It would help if you had asked them then, said Susan. Well, that's it. Everyone has left the building, said Harry.
Almost everyone, said Martha.
Martha, of course, you were the first one we ever met from you know where, so you will always be the last one to leave, said Susan.
Not necessarily, Susan, but I wanted to talk to you and your family privately for a minute. Can we have a seat?
She asked as she motioned to the dining room table.
I just wanted to make sure everyone is okay. The first Christmas is always the most difficult. Next year it will be much easier because you'll know what to expect and how to prepare, Martha said.
I apologize for having a meltdown, but I am so disappointed that our parents weren't allowed to come.
Do you think they'll come next year? Asked Caitlin.
I do not know, Caitlin. That is up to your mother and father to work out. Hopefully they can come to an agreement and we'll both be here next Christmas,
replied Martha.
It's going to be a long year waiting to see if Mom and Dad come for Christmas, said Caitlin.
Just remember, Caitlin, it's not like everyone has this opportunity to see their parents alive again. We have been given a great gift, and if Rick and Karen can't realize that, then we will have to make the best of it without them, said Susan. Martha talked a bit longer with the family and then made her departure. Unlike the guests who left through the door and turned to mist out in the street, Martha would disappear instantly, sometimes in mid-sentence. After Martha left, Harry and Susan suggested that the family eat dinner and open presents. The presents had waited this long, so eating first wouldn't matter. All agreed, for they were famished. As Harry and Susan set the table, his phone buzzed. It was Rose sending him a test text. It said,
"Hi, Harry. Is this thing working? LMK."
"What is LMK?" Harry asked Susan. "Let me know." "Why?" she asked. "Rose just sent me a text from her new phone," replied Harry. "Oh, I thought maybe it was a call from Ernest," Susan said with a laugh. "Do you not like Ernest?" Harry asked.
"Of course I like Ernest. He's adorable. I'm a little disappointed in you, though, leaving a woman to give birth and raise a baby by herself," Susan replied.
"I had no idea the woman was even pregnant. I was with her one time and never saw or heard from her again," Harry said.
Harry scrolled through his phone and suddenly stopped.
"Oh my God, I have a voicemail," Harry said.
"So what, you get 100 a day," said Susan.
"But this is the first one from heaven," Harry said as he held out the phone and showed the screen to Susan.
It read, "Voicemail from Ernie Hill."